Well, John, we meet again.
Did we?
You have your voice thing. What do you think? You think you're God, John?
Hello, Wade. Wait, no, I should do it like the... Hello there, Wade. What are we going to talk today about today on the podcast?
22 ARC. The folks have been asking. We're men of the people. We give them what they want. So, what am I going to do with this one? Because people are like all about the builds here lately. What we're going to do on this one, start out on the podcast and then move over to the other YouTube channel, which is Texas Predator Hunting. Look for my comments. That'll be the channel. But as you can tell, this is just built. I haven't even shot it. Haven't even put a scope on it because I'm still trying to decide what scope to put on it. Let us know in the comments down below what scope you think we should put on it. Is there a scope that you would like us to try? I mean, if it's a terrible idea, we won't do it. If it's a shitty scope, it's not happening. But let us know down below what scope you think we should put on this bad boy. We might try it out. But then, you know, after I scope it and shoot it, get it broken in, you know, shoot some groups, then we'll talk about it over on the podcast, you know, show off more and all that stuff, because, you know, this is a podcast. What I figured we'd do today is just do a 12-minute talk on the actual build, like, spec list. People want to know the specs, John, the specs. So, that said, today's 12-minute talk is brought to you by AllyMunitions.com or Ally Outdoors, which is where I got all this stuff, Ally Outdoors. In Midland, Texas. I'm just going to go with it. So, this is a 22 arc. Now, I already have one 22 arc. It is a 16-inch. I haven't even... I've been so busy with everything else. And, you know, it's going to be a while before components are available for loading. And it's going to be a while before I even think about jumping into that. Like, I have so much other shit to load. So... You know, to answer that question right away, no, I'm not coming out with ammo anytime soon. you are seeing factory ammo available. Ally has the 88 grain EODM, unless y'all sold out. I don't think y'all have. I have seen like places like Shields have the 62 grain EODBT, and I've seen some 75 grain bolted hollow points floating around certain places. We do have a bunch ordered for the store at Midland. So, you know, let that be. We also have more barrels inbound for the store in Midland, 22 arc barrels. And, you know, they always have building components for AR-15s at the store. Uppers, lowers, barrels, handguard, like all the stuff. But that's one of those things where it's like it's such a fast turnaround, like it's just constantly being replenished. So if you go in there one day and they don't have a particular thing, go back another day or two because they're going to probably have it back in stock. And they've also been leaning more heavily into carrying even more building components because, you know, there's still a lot of people out there that enjoy building an AR-15, even though there's a lot of rifles available. You haven't seen a whole lot of ARs yet, chambered in 22 arc, but I feel like they're coming. Ally did just get, I haven't got one yet, but I'm getting one. The Proof Research bolt action 22 arcs. So, those are 100%, well, unless they're sold out by the time this airs. Those are 100% available at store. And again, barrels are inbound, building components at Ally. But anyways, all this shit here, I got from Ally. So, let's go. Let's talk about the build. This is, at its core, a 22-inch, 22 arc. Let's just go, I guess, butt to nose. Which one's the nose on the AR? I don't know. But anyways, now, if you're not watching the video on YouTube, you're just listening, or I would recommend going to Spotify, watching the video there, or getting on YouTube. So you got to follow along, but I'll do my best to explain this properly for those of you who only listen. So we're starting at the buttstock. This is the Magpul MOE PR, or is it PR MOE? Do you know?
No. No, I do not, my child.
It's Magpul's new stock. The newest edition of the MOE, basically, if you're unfamiliar, go check it out at Magpul's website. It's the MOE PR, I believe is what it's called. Basically, what it is like it's an upgraded version of the MOE that has a better bag riding situation. It is. Now, there's going to be people ask. I've already answered this question a million times. I'll continue answering it. It is just as wobbly as any other MOE stock. Now, you can do the tape thing, or you can just be fine with it, because like when you rest it on a bag, it's good to go. Like I don't know what to tell you there. Like, yes, I wish it was tighter, like, because you know Magpul does have the stocks with the dual taper lock bullshit and all that stuff, but again, like what they're going for is a MOE buttstock. I don't know if you're familiar with Magpul products. They are the greatest products in the world. That's gonna enrage certain people when I find it hilarious. The MOE is typically, would you say it's like typically their cheaper stuff? Like very, I don't know how to, I don't, yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like that's the case. I would, you know, I'm totally excited about the stock because, like, what I use AR-15s for primarily is hunting and shooting. More hunting, like, I shoot to hunt. And this is, like, this perfect setup for keeping it super lightweight whilst giving you the things that you need, nothing that you don't. And you can use the MOE cheek risers on this stock. So if you, I don't know, running a super, super tall mount for whatever stupid reason, you can put a cheek riser on it to, I don't know, bring it back up the same height because you're retarded out. People going to hate me for saying this shit, but I don't care. Anyways, MOE PR stock, or PR MOE, whatever. It's the new Magpul stock. Now, buffer tube or receiver extension is the BCM Mark II T2. It's an A5 buffer system. Because as I've talked about in other previous podcasts, if you check those out, be sure and go check them out. I am going through and testing all the different buffer weights, springs, and everything else. So we could do like this super in-depth. Is there a best choice for buffer length system or buffer weights or springs for the ARC cartridge case family? Now, that's going to equate to the 6 ARC, 22 ARC, probably even the 6.5 Grendel, potentially even for the Valkyrie, if you're still running Valkyrie at this point in time, once 22 ARC is more available. I will say this. I've talked about it in a previous 12-minute talk, gas system shit. Go check that one out. But again, this is the BCM Mark II T2 A5 length receiver extension buffer, whatever the shit you want to call it all. Moving forward, Mega Arms upper and lower. This is a billet upper and lower, also known as what, John? Zev? People like were fucking shouting from the rooftops on the last time I talked about this in my other video on the other channel. Like it was, anyways, yeah. It is a billet upper and lower, and it's perhaps my current favorite billet upper and lowers. With the exception of, you will not be able to use a aftermarket Geissele handguard without some material removal on the upper, which is fine. It's not that big of a deal. This thing's going to get rattle canned anyways, so I don't care. But anyways, I'll start with the upper. I am using a Ally Munitions dust cover, or ejection port cover, the caliber specific model. I am using a Radian Raptor SD charging handle. That is the gas defeating charger handle. Because as I mentioned before, every little bit helps. I am running a... My notes are all... This is... Okay. There's something else new I'm going to be testing. A CMC enhanced 6mm arc BCG. Now... This is the first time I've seen CMC package it, but that bolt carrier has been around for a minute. I forget the AR company. I think there's an AR company. I forget the name of it. They're owned or something by CMC. That bolt carrier has been around for a while. And they put their, is it Santan? I believe it's Santan. It was kind of pretty early on to jump onto 6mm arc bandwagon, and they were using these bolt carriers and all that stuff. I'll wait later. I haven't even shot it. There's some interesting things about it, so we'll get into that later. But it is a CMC enhanced, John, enhanced 6 arc BCG. Now, I don't care. People don't care about the Ford Assist, but it is a whatever. Spikes or something, whatever random part I could find. On the lower here, we have the, I believe that's an Armor Spec safety selector. It's fine. It's nothing fancy. Maritime bolt catch over here on my side. I do have the Ambi Mag release from, I believe it's CMC. Let me go back to my notes here. Yeah, CMMG. Ambi mag release. Now I'm gonna be I'm indifferent about this currently. Now honestly, I have the Magpul extended mag release on this particular side. The side you're gonna be used to for the mag release. I'm messing with this to see how I like the Ambi mag release. In this particular Mega Arms lower has it comes with Ambi bolt release. But again, on this particular side over here by me, the smart side, Maritime bolt catch. It's pretty hard to go wrong with that guy. The trigger is a, if you guessed it, you probably guessed right. I don't remember which one. Where's my list here? TriggerTech Duty. So it's flat shoe. The TriggerTech Duty is like a $130 trigger. You can get flat shoe or curved, and it's like a straight 2.5 or 3 pounds. I don't remember, and then I don't remember what pins I put in this because whatever. The thing about the way, so most time when you see these, whatever you want to call it, anti roll whatever pins, it's someone has a drop in cassette style trigger. But the thing about the TriggerTech is they have these little keeper screws. You don't technically have to run any sort of aftermarket trigger pins. Like, you can utilize the trigger the way it's meant to be used and go from there. But I had them. I put them in there. So, whatever. And again, it's just an Armor Spec Ambi safety selector. I don't get too crazy about. I just had this safety selector set and I put it in here. I don't get too crazy about safety selectors, and I know it's a point of contention for some folks, because literally almost everybody nowadays makes a safety selector set, and most all of them you can go 90 degree or 45 degree, and there's some companies that are going with different stuff, but I don't care. The takedown pins are Radian. I just had, again, so most time when I'm doing this stuff, I'm buying stuff from the store to test out on builds to see how it performs and if I have any issues with anything to know that I need to tell the sales staff, what have you. That's why sometimes there's a smorgasbord of parts. Although I do have my favorite shit, TriggerTech triggers, Maritime bolt catch, the Magpul extended mag release, stuff like that is kind of mainstays, but I will, test some stuff here and there. Or the Radian Raptor SD charge handle. It's one of my, my favorites. And again, going back to why billet? Number one, I bought several billet sets from Al Outdoors. Number two, I really like, especially as it pertains to these 6mm arcs, 22 arcs, stuff like that. I really, really like the fact that these have a roll pin where your charger handle engages the upper. And we've talked about that before, so I won't get into it again. Moving forward, I think I covered everything. Oh, handle, I mean, pistol grip. As always, Magpul, because Magpul is the greatest. K2XL on this particular one. I like that pistol grip. Moving forward, we have a Geissele. Where's the name of it? I wrote it down. 16.5 SMP Mark 18 rail, which is the integrated ARCA handguard. I mean, I don't, these names killing me, but whatever. Fantastic. Everybody knows Geissele is the GOAT. In my opinion, this does have the stainless steel inserts for the cutie cups up here. For those that care about that sort of thing. Like I follow a bunch of groups. Everybody knows this, but I'm going to restate it again. I follow a bunch of groups on Facebook to kind of keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening with these certain areas, like caliber groups, particular rifle owner groups and everything else. And I follow the guys in one, which number one is some of you people out there in guys in groups kind of goofy, but I see it being a point of contention for some of these hardcore Geissele owners, whether or not it has the stainless steel insert. This one does. You'll be happy to know it does. Now, I already have quite a few of these these integrated ARCA handguards, with the exception of the fact that these aftermarket handguards from Geissele, some of these thicker uppers, you'll have to do some sort of trimming, or they just won't work at all on. That's kind of like the downside to some of these other aftermarket uppers. Other than that, this is probably my favorite integrated ARCA handguard currently. You know, guys is great. So moving forward from there, we do have a Superlative Arms adjustable gas block, or I always mispronounce this. Superlative Arms. This is the set screw version, because Proof Research sends you with, most of the time, I have gotten some in the past that didn't have it. You'll get a gas tube, and the barrels are already pre-dimpled. Now, I did bore scope this barrel. Again, that is the Superlative Arms. This is actually the tenetized one. Now, although, you know, I wouldn't have wasted a perfectly good tenetized gas block on a rifle that I'm normally going to spray paint, but that's the one I had in that size, so... Yeah, that's where we're at on that. But anyways, if you're not familiar with Superlative Arms adjustable gas blocks, I've had good luck at them. Now, in the last video we did on the regular TPH YouTube, Texas Spread Hunting YouTube, look for me, comments down below, follow that page for more in-depth looks at the shit and like how it groups later on and everything else. But I posted up, I did a six arc build video over there, kind of like we're doing now, but I've actually already shot that one a little bit and everything else. But I posted up like the link to that video in the six arc group, and insert Mr. So-and-so, who said, I don't, you know, whatever it was, something along the lines of, I don't like Superlative Arms because I've had some break before, you know, 5,000 rounds or, you know, whatever. And he posted a picture of some other branded gas block that had exploded. And then I started pulling the thread a little, asking questions. If he's less than this, I apologize, but I feel as if you're full of shit. Like, when you start pulling the thread on some of these, okay, so it was that very typical, like, I don't agree with what you said about, you know, he's commenting about the tuning of the gas systems and what buffer weights and everything else on the six arcs. I don't agree with you, Sid, for some reason, you know. And now, okay, so why do you feel that way? Like, I'm genuinely curious, okay, if it's all about sample sets, okay? So I have quite a few Superlative Arms gas blocks. I have quite a few of them that have anywhere from, you know, two rounds all the way up to several thousand rounds. I have yet to have an issue with mine, but here's the thing. Relatively speaking, let's say I have 20 probably perhaps 20 or so supportive arms, gas adjustable gas box in operation currently. 20 out of how many ever thousands they've built is, relatively speaking, a very small sample size. Also, here's the key component to all this. I properly maintain my shit. So, that being said, I think that has a lot to do with a lot of things. Now, again, when I started pulling the thread on this guy, asking more questions, because I'm legitimately curious, like, is there something that I need to know about? Like, should I be cleaning my gas block or whatever much more often? Like, tell me why you made this comment, other than, like, you're full of shit like most other people. When I started pulling this thread, like, his original comment was like, well, basically it read as if he had shot out multiple six arc barrels. And the way it read is multiple of these gas blocks had not lasted. Well, come find out it was not six arc barrels. I think he only has one six arc. And it, you know, the picture he posted was like literally some other company's adjustable gas block split in two. And at the end of it, I'm just like, oh, you didn't really have a fucking point other than the fact that you had a gas block. Only one confirmed, because he did have a photo of it, if that is his photo. You only actually had one adjustable gas block fill on you that we can confirm. And like, you don't really pose any other, like, oh, this is why. And at its bare bones, his argument was just stupid. It's just more that, like, I want to hate on, like, you seem happy while you're talking about this. I want to hate on it. I want to shit on you. I had a bad day today. I want to shit on whatever you're talking about. So, I don't know. I'm going to continue to recommend supportive arms until I find either A, find something I like better, or B, they just stop working, even though they're working fantastic. It's just like everything else. Maintain your equipment. But anyways, huge side tangent there. Superlative Arms adjustable gas block. The thing I like about Superlative Arms is you can go from being completely closed off to opened up to gas bleed off. So you have a wide range of options there. And as it pertains, I don't give a shit what any other these assholes say. You know what? I'm coming down a little hard on you right now. You're not an asshole. You're just ill-informed. As it pertains to cartridge case capacity of that of the 6.5 Grendel, the 6 arc, 22 arc. I'm just going to throw out AR-15 platform, 7.62-39s, 224 Valkyries. Having the ability to tune more is better, I assure you, as it pertains to the recoil impulse in the system properly functioning. Again, go back and listen to those podcasts about all that other shit. It's better to have it and not need it than not have it at all, and especially if you're going to run everybody's favorite word, generic suppressors that introduced a ton of back pressure into the system. 100%, I would not run a 6 arc or a 22 arc with a generic suppressor without some sort of bleed off gas. I don't care if I had to replace the goddamn, you know what, let's just say Supportive Arms is out, you know, big gas block is at it again, and they're selling you gas blocks that only last a couple thousand rounds and then they just explode. Okay, that's a consumable. I'm still going to run that fucking bleed off gas block on these platforms with a generic suppressor. You know what? At this point, I'm going to put them on every 6 arc or 22 arc build because I like the ability to fine tune the system. Because I'm looking for, one, the most minimal amount of gas coming back in the system as possible. Two, I'm looking for that very nice soft shooting rifle platform. And if you're not, you probably can't shoot very good. That's just, you can't shoot good enough to even see the goddamn difference anyways. But anyway, Superlative Arms, adjustable gas block. This is a 0.750 barrel. Yeah, or well, gas block journal, whatever the fuck they call it. But okay, so I did pin the gas port, pin gauge the gas port on my pin gauges. And I say this because it's fucking Chinese stuff, so who knows? 0.096 is what the gas port measured out at. Going forward from there. And again, this is a Proof Research carbon fiber wrapped 22-inch barrel. And as you can tell here, I don't know if you can see it or not, but I did go ahead and put a muzzle device for the Huxworks can. And until I get more of these other flow-through style suppressors, I'm going to continue to put these muzzle devices, because on these 6-arc, 22-arc platforms, that is the goat right now for myself, because that's the only flow-through suppressor I own currently. But anyways, I think I covered it. Oh, and I know in the comments, where's the Magpul? Bah! This is the MDT grind pod. I'm going to say it right now from a hunting standpoint. My second most favorite bipod. Right now, sample set of one. I only have one of these currently because I'm going to test the piss out of it before I buy more of them. You know, kind of like I did with Magpul when I established that it is, in fact, the greatest hunting bipod ever created by man, naturally, because, you know, Magpul did it. I'm just really leaning into this Magpul thing to think people, make people think we're shields for them. Maybe they'll just start being sponsored. Who knows? Currently, I mean, it doesn't do everything Magpul does, clearly. But currently, I'm liking this bipod. This is the MDT grind pod. Now, we've talked about it before, but I'm, you know, just kind of talking about it a little bit more. I have it on here just because. Let us know in the comments what scope you think we should run on this. Now, I know where I'm going to go. It's a 22-inch platform. I built this one out to still relatively be lightweight. Like, it's... Oh, I did weigh this one. It was... Shit, what did I write that down then? It's like eight-something pounds. 8.5 pounds, something like that. Which... I urge you to weigh your rifles more often, because, like, what you think, like, perspective is anything. If you're used to carrying these heavier rifles, when you actually, build out new one, you're like, oh, this weighs probably like 5 or 6 pounds. And you go over there, and it's like 2 more pounds than that. But anyways, I think it was like 8.5 pounds as it sits right now. But, you know, keep in mind, this is a 22-inch rifle. It's set up to be like a long-range hunting type thing. Let us know in the comments what scope you think I should put on this. Because I'm going to hold off putting a scope on it. Yeah, I have plenty of other. I mean, I am dying to shoot this. I will say this. My 16-inch is shooting fantastic. As per the usual, all my other proof barrels, as I stated either in this podcast or another one. I think it was the other one. All my other proof barrels shoot fantastic. I've never had any issues out of proof barrels. Now, there was this one time where it took one a little bit longer to get broken in well, but I expect nothing less from this one. I'm going to tell you where I'm probably going to go with this. Either like a 2 to 20, 3 to 18, somewhere around there. I'm not going to go any bigger. Like, I'm not going to go to past 20X. Something lighter in weight, more compact, more better. There is a particular scope that we do have coming into LA. It may already be there. That I was thinking about putting on this one. So let us know in the comments down below what you think. What scope? Is there rings and bases that we need to try we haven't talked about? One piece mount. I'm not putting. Let me just back that up. One piece mount. I'm not putting two-piece rings on this, but is there a one-piece mount that you've seen come out we haven't talked about, you feel as if we should try out and let you know how it works? What scope would you recommend? Obviously, it's going to be a mil, MOA. Anything else, John? I feel like I think I've covered all of it. Oh, Good God. When I borescoped, I'm just going to, one little add. When I borescoped this, okay, so, yeah, I'll talk about that later, but I will say this. When I borescoped this one to make sure my gas block was lined up properly, because you should never trust factory dampling. Like, once again, check mark for proof. I've never had one proof be messed up with spread of arm gas blocks. When I borescoped it all the way through, this barrel is, it's fucking beautiful. Like, this is what, this is probably one of the best looking barrels I've looked at over the past couple months. As far as, like, from the chamber job all the way out. Like, because you'll see some of this, you know, I'll say borescoping for a later video, but I will say this. They did a beautiful goddamn barrel. They did a beautiful job lapping it after the fact. And whoever chambered this bitch was like, this must have been a pretty new reamer. This must have been like Johnny on spot. Like, this wasn't a Friday build. Like, it's a beautiful barrel. So I expect it to shoot very well. So, okay, now. Oh, on top of, what scope do you think we should run, or what would your scope suggestion be?
What would mine be? Are you asking me?
I am asking you, and I'm also asking the fans, but also I'm going to rattle can this. What colors should I rattle can it?
I don't know. I don't care about that. What barrel length is it?
22. Yeah. I literally just talked about this for over an hour.
No, you're not even close to an hour.
It's ridiculous.
That's actually a really hard one. I guess my question to you would be, what is the use case for this rifle? Like, what is...
Long-range plinking and some long-range
hunting. So, less hunting, more plinking?
Probably.
Maybe that new... maybe that new Collis?
I hate how heavy they are.
Okay, so you want it lightweight? Wait.
Yeah, because I will hunt with it.
I decided I'm going to try out a Night Force Attacker 7-35 5.5.
That's a big old boy.
What's mine's going on 300 BRC? So
that's a big old boy.
So that's a big boy. Have you tried the 4-20?
I have not tried the 4-20. I do like the two. What is it? 220? Is it 2-20? I was thinking about potentially putting one of those on here.
Yeah, the only thing I hate about the Night Force is the stupid fucking illumination like thing.
I really dislike the fact that you're paying so much money for it, and the glass ain't really all that great. Yeah. For all the money you're paying. But I mean, you are paying. You're probably paying for more of the durability as opposed, definitely, than the glass, because I promise you. Now, I know I always say like things like, oh, it depends on who's looking through it. I spend a lot of time behind a lot of glass. For what you pay for a Night Force, my personal opinion, you're overpaying if you're thinking you're getting the best glass. That's just my personal opinion. Take that for what it's worth. Now, you are no doubt getting a rugged scope. But like, what are you looking for? Like, I'm not using my scope as a fucking hammer.
You're not?
I mean, I do want a good scope that's going to hold zero and be able to take abuse. Most of them do nowadays after a certain price point. Let's clarify that. But anyways, there's a new Steiner that I hope I like, because it's probably going to end up on here. It's a compact 4-16. Now, I hate 4-16 power ranges. Like, I don't know why. I don't know. I do like the max magnification of 16. I don't really care about the low power, because, again, this is going to be more for plinking and some light long-range hunting. I hope I like that. It's a compact 4-16. If Matt took my suggestion, we will have some in store. Or, obviously, you can't go wrong with the Mark V. Or, you can't go wrong with a Strike Eagle 3-18. Or, the okay, so, what's it called? The LHT 4.5-22 from Vortex. I really like that one, except for the fact that the only aftermarket throw levers available for that scope are big and gawky. I know it's a relatively moot complaint. Otherwise, that's a great scope, and it's not overly long. It's more lightweight. I don't want to I don't want to put nothing too long, and I don't want to put nothing too heavy. I'm very picky. If this was a steel barrel, I'd just say fuck it. Like, because you could put if this was a steel barrel instead of a carbon fiber, I would have definitely went with a B5 stock or the PRS Gen 3, and I would probably put the new Mark IV 4.5-18 on here. But being it's a carbon fiber barrel and it's relatively lightweight, I'm going to probably stick with something a little bit lighter, more compact. It's just, this is my weird thinking on how things should go, but I'm right, you're wrong. Duramag. Running Duramax. I do have an update for the Geisy Mag. For those that don't know, I am currently, when I have time, because there's other pressing things, but I have about 75-ish rounds down my GFR, Geisy Fighting Rifle, and 6mm arc. One, I'm very impressed with the accuracy and precision of said rifle. Two, I have been taking the Geisy Mag. Now, that one that it came with is like an 8-round or some shit. I don't remember. I think all you can get in is 8 rounds. But it's the Geisy marked magazine. What I've been doing, though, is putting that bitch in every single 6-arc I shoot. So I also use that magazine during tons of factory ammo testing for uploading velocities to the website and what have you. So that particular magazine has already had close to 1,000 rounds through it. The new Geisy Mag. I haven't cleaned it because I want to see if any issues come, So far, zero issues, Jonathan. Zero. So much so, I'm going to go ahead and buy some more.
Like they do for $120.
Yeah, I know. It's probably a Super Duty magazine, John. it still gets asked all the time, and I will continue to say this. Duramag, I haven't had any issues. There was one magazine that potentially could have been an issue, and I lost the magazine. So I don't know. Although, I feel like it wasn't the magazine after I discovered what I discovered the other day, but that's a different topic for a different day. So far, and again, let's talk about sample size. I have had 15, is it ASC or ACS?
ASC.
ASC magazines for the 6-arc and 6.5 Grendel. After the fifth one, the spring broke, and having just constant issues, I stopped running those magazines. Don't even touch them anymore. I still have them. I moved over to Duramag and have had zero issues. Again, with the exception of potentially during that cold weather snap, having an issue with one magazine that I then lost because we got stuck in the river. But again, I don't think it was actually the magazine after all, because I figured out what I think the problem was. But anyways, Duramag. Now, a lot of people don't like the Duramags when you get into the higher capacity because they put the little bend in them. Now, what I have run is the 6.5 Grendel marked Duramags. I have run the 7.62 marked Grendel, 7.62x39 marked magazines. And also, they make a 6.8 magazine, which is technically for a 2-4 Valkyrie. I've ran some of those in my 6 arcs and with no issues. But also, I have probably 40 of those magazines now and of all different lengths, and yet to have an issue that I'm aware of. So take that for what it's worth. That is what's in this rifle. And it's not a $1,000,000,000 for one, like the Geissele. So I do have some, and I'm going to pronounce this improperly, and I apologize. I do listen to podcasts. Brenton, I believe is the name of the company. They're making some ARs, some hunting ARs, and I think we're going to potentially have them on at some point. They're making their own magazine or having it made, whatever the case would be. I do have some of theirs. I haven't tested yet, but I do have some. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I live on the magazines. That's probably where I get to, because it works. Magpul, listen to me. Listen, we are your biggest fans. Biggest fans. Magpul GOAT. Come out with a 6.5 Grendel magazine, please. Do it. Do it. Do it. Although they probably never will, but a boy can dream, John. A boy can dream. Do we need to wrap this up for our guest?
Yes.
Well, folks, be sure go check out alleymunitions.com, or if you're in Midland, go buy Alley Outdoors. As I said, like all of the components you see before you, I purchased at Alley Outdoors. That doesn't mean they're still in stock. You know, shit sells out constantly, and they're constantly working to get shit back in stock. But they do have most of these components, other than they don't have the barrels. I bought them all. Most of these components are in stock, and they do have 22 arc barrels inbound. Lots of new stuff in the store, lots of new options as far as optics and building components and rifles and shotguns and everything else. Like, lots of new stuff. And with the quick turnaround approval times, go buy a suppressor. Go now. We appreciate it. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Is there any, you know, anything else, Joe? I don't like it. Go back to saying no. I didn't like it. You threw me off guard. Well, we appreciate everyone. We'll see you guys next time. You should leave that part in.
Heed the call.